Good morning. It's Commissioner Dennis Frazier with my podcast for this week. I'm going to talk about a couple of things today that I really don't have any influence over. However, I do think they're important for me to add my voice to the chorus that's being added to around the country. The things I'm going to talk about now are taking place in other jurisdictions throughout the country. My understanding is that there's over 50 right now that do it, including Tampa, Chicago, Philadelphia. It's just some things I think we should look at here, not only in Carroll County, but in the state of Maryland. And like I said, I have no influence over this. And the things I'm about to talk about, I have brought up, and I actually had a sit-down meeting with our state's attorney, Brian DiLeonardo, a week or so ago, and he made no commitment either way, but I just like to add, you know, let him know my feelings on these things. Some of this is in his hands and some of it is not, but things I want to bring up. The first thing I want to bring up, and I actually have mentioned this before, it's called no cash bail. No cash bail is about people that are charged with crimes that are not involving harm to other people, in my opinion now, this is my take on this, that don't involve harm to other people and don't involve guns. Those people, in my opinion, should be given like a ticket. This is your court date. Report to court. I think that's the way it should be. I don't think people should spend time in jail just after they've been charged because they don't have the money to bail themselves out. And I've heard people say, you know, well, so if you have a bail bondsman, it's like you only pay 10% or whatever the exact figure is. And to be honest with you, I've never been in that situation. I'm not positive, but it's a small amount. But as I've talked to some people around who have been involved in this, even if the amount is $200, $150, $300, whatever it is, it might as well be $1 million if you don't have it. And I've also talked to people that have been charged, been held in jail for several months because they do not have money for bail. And then the case is dismissed before it goes to trial. Now, the type of people we're looking at here or we're talking about are people that, number one, if they have employment, they're probably going to lose it spending this amount of time in jail. So they've lost their employment. They have housing. They've probably lost their housing. So they're putting them on a downward spiral. And all you have to do is give them a summons to report to court at this particular date. And the fact is, other jurisdictions that have done this, D.C. right close to us is one that has no cash bail, not for everybody, but for some. I'd say for most, actually, has no cash bail for most. Most every person that gets its summons shows up at court. And I guess it depends on how you look at it. It's over 80%, close to 90% that actually show up for court to just get the summons. It's almost the exact same percentage of the people that pay bail that show up for court. So there's not much difference. And let's face the facts. The truth is, bail is about getting people to court. That's all it's supposed to be about, getting people to court. And I've already said I'm not in favor of this if the crime involves doing harm to another person or involves a gun. Also have to remember that in this country, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So we're holding people that are presumed innocent in jail because they don't have the money to get out. I really don't think our founding fathers envisioned a system like that when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and so forth. I just don't think that they did. I'm against it. I'm against it for those particular reasons. But you know, just because I'm against it, how about a solution? What am I going to say? What can we do instead of that? There's a couple things you can do if you're concerned about people showing up for court and you're not doing a bail system. One is a day reporting or a weekly reporting system where they have to report either to the state's attorney's office or to the sheriff's department or whatever jurisdiction it happens to be in on a daily or weekly basis. And I'm not talking about a prolonged thing. They come in, they show their ID, they talk to somebody for a minute or two, and they're gone. This is where I am, this is where I've been, this is what I'm doing. That way they can, if they have a job, and hopefully that they do, they can maintain their work, they can maintain their housing. So you have a day reporting or a weekly reporting system. Well, other jurisdictions have done that. But if you're really worried about where these people are during the day and what they're doing and if they're going to show up, take one of those ankle bracelets and place it on them. With those ankle bracelets, it tells you where they are all the time and where they're going and everything else. And some people will say, oh, I don't want that. Okay, this is our alternative to bail. Either you're paying the money for bail or we're putting this ankle bracelet on you. Here's your court date. You come back. I think a lot of people would rather do that than spend time in jail. And that way you can still go to your job. You don't have to worry about day reporting. You don't have to worry about losing your housing. You have to be put in a downward spiral that a lot of people will never get out of. And we're forcing them into something that they possibly a much worse situation than they should have been in before. And also another advantage of this, the less money that we spend holding people before their trial, that money can be used for schools, for parks, for police training, for public transportation, all that kind of stuff. Now, how much money is that going to be? I don't think it's a ton of money, but I think it's some money that could be used. And I'm not making the money argument. I'm just saying that's another advantage of doing this. My second thing I want to bring up today is why are we arresting and prosecuting people on simple possession charges. When I talk about simple possession, I mean possession of drugs in small amounts. And sometimes trace, residue, and I don't know the legal definition between one or the other, and it actually could be one that means exactly the same as the other, I'm not sure, or drug paraphernalia. Why are people being arrested, taken to court for these type of crimes? I just don't understand it. Now, if they're being arrested for other things that, as people often say, are associated with drug use, like theft, robbery, assault, anything like that, then yes, of course you arrest them. Of course you take them to trial because of the other things that are going on. But if you're pulled over, and what happens a lot, and I'm not going to say happens a lot, but what happens, you're pulled over for a traffic stop. You're found to have some type of drug, you know, a baggie with some white residue or whatever. It's something's in your car. You get arrested with some residue, or you've got some drug paraphernalia. It might have nothing but trace stuff in it, but you're arrested. Why? Why take up the resources of our system of justice for crimes like this when there are people out there that are hurting other people, that are using guns and you know, robberies and shooting people and stuff? Why use our resources for something as petty as this? Especially since these people that are arrested on these things, they don't need jail. They need help. They need to go to some type of rehab, or they need to go to some type of counseling or something, and they do need that. And I know the argument is, well, we're going to hold this over their head so that they do go to rehab or they do go to counseling or they do this stuff. And that is a legitimate argument. However, I've was a teacher for over 40 years. I've had a lot of experience personally in my personal life, not personally, with people that are addicted to drugs. People change when they're ready to change, not when they're forced to change. Anything that has to be maintained by force is doomed to fail. So when people are ready to change, they'll change. Now, it doesn't mean that going to a rehab or going to counseling or something like that wouldn't help them see the light, but it also doesn't mean just because you put them in rehab or counseling that they're going to change. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, because I did do some research on this, the average number of stays in rehab before someone is an addicted is somewhere around 17. So 17 trips to rehab. So they're changed when they're ready to change. So I'm running out of time. So my main point of the second thing is, why are we arresting and prosecuting people for simple drug possession when nothing else is involved, especially small amounts? And small amounts have been defined by other jurisdictions, exactly what the drug is and what a small amount or personal use kind of thing is. Because, and also the fact is, the majority of people, depends on where you read your statistics, 70-80% of people are not taking drugs to get high. They're taking the drugs so they don't get sick. Is this a disease? Let's help these people out. Let's not arrest them, strip search them, throw them in jail, give them a record, and then it's almost impossible to get a job after that. Let's try to help them out. I don't have the solution today, and I'm out of time. So it's Commissioner Frazier saying goodbye till next time.